concession. Anyone want to volunteer a definition that you might have in your mind? What does concession mean? Okay. Anyone else?
You give up something.
You give up something? Well, it seems like the word concession is used in various aspects in our society. One of the places that it's used is in relationship to maybe food and trinkets. We have things at maybe amusement parks or maybe the zoo or a sporting event in our nation called a concession stand. And a concession stand is something that is, from my research, may have been somewhat original to our United States. I think they're in other places now, but just for them to capitalize on a place where people are going is something that may be original to the U.S. Have you ever bought anything at a concession stand? What's the most extraordinary thing that you find at a concession stand?
For me, it's food.
Okay.
Extraordinary.
The most extraordinary thing I find at a concession stand is the price. It's universal. If you are looking for food or something to drink at a concession stand, the most memorable thing, it might be the tastiest funnel cake or the best fried Oreo that you've ever had. I don't know, but the most outstanding thing about all of them is you come away and you maybe say to yourself, I can't believe that I paid that much for that. And the only reason that we justify it is because we feel like we're supporting a cause or we're gratifying some urge at the time. But it cost us something, and generally we come away feeling like it cost us dearly. I remember one time my wife and I was at a place. And, of course, a lot of times when you enter some of those places that have concession stands, it's kind of, you know, you go through a gate and have to have a ticket to go through. And when maybe somewhere's in the entrance, the path of the entrance, it'll tell you, reminding you that you can't bring your lunchbox with you. No food or drink allowed. You can't bring anything from the house. You can't bring your picnic basket, you can't bring your bottle of water, anything. If you're thirsty or you're hungry when you're in here, you have to buy from the concession stand. And we were at a place like that. It's been years and years ago. And it's been so long ago, it makes me kind of nervous to think what it would cost today. But we got a drink, and we decided that we would get a large drink, and we would share it. And I don't remember how big it was, but we didn't have any trouble drinking it all, but it cost us like $4. And I thought, this is not right. It's just, that's the most memorable thing I remember, is it was $4. And, you know, I want us to get it real impressed in our minds that something, a concession, cost us something. A concession stand. We buy a hot dog. It may be the poorest hot dog we've ever had in our life, and we will still pay a premium for it. It might be the smallest amount of potato chips we've ever bought for a dollar and a half. We come away from there thinking, you know, if I wasn't just about to starve, I wouldn't have done it. Or we might say, well, you know, it's going to keep the penguin habitat up and running for another 10 years, surely, from what I've just paid for my lunch. But it's cost us something. I want us to remember that through the course of our thought this morning. Concessions cost us something. So a definition I have is the act of granting or yielding, usually implying a demand, claim, or request from the party to whom it is made, and thus distinguished from giving, which is voluntary or spontaneous. On the way here, my wife was telling me about a situation she had at the gas station recently, where someone approached her and asked her to buy a little gas for their car. And she visited with them a little bit and put some fuel in their tank. But it was all voluntary. We got nothing out of it. We didn't get onion rings. We didn't get a cold drink. We didn't get anything out of it other than knowing that we had blessed another person just a little bit. That's voluntary. But a concession is when we go and get something from someone and there is an exchange. And the other person says, well, I'll give you this for this price. I will give the thing that you want, but you're going to have to contribute something to me. It's not always money. Last night, we had been here working at the chapel, and I say last night, it was yesterday evening, afternoon when we finished. Didn't work really late here, but we got ready to go. My wife came, and it would have been just fine with me to just go straight home. It would have been fine with me. As she said, I thought that maybe we could go get something to eat while we're here in Webb City. I said, okay. I made a concession. Not because that issue cost me money. The food cost us some money, all right? But I made the concession of, you know, my thoughts at the time was I'm ready to go home. And she said, let's go get a bite to eat before we go home. So it cost me a little something. I didn't get home as quick as I had thought I might, all right? So on the way to get something, she said, where would you like to go? And she gave me some options of what she had in her mind, and I said, I don't really care. I want to go someplace I can sit down. And she said, well, that pretty well narrows it down to this. So she made a concession. You see what are you following what I'm saying here? It's not always money. Many times it's a decision that we make. I'm willing to give you something. I'm willing to make a concession, and it's one party. It's the act of one party yielding or changing their direction because of someone else's desires, someone else's wishes. So I would say that all of you that are married today or have family that you interact with, you have made concessions. Someone says, why don't we do this? And maybe you had something else in your mind, but you made a concession and said, okay, we'll do that. If that would be something you're looking forward to, let's go do that. You made a concession. You were willing to spend your time with your family member, spouse, sibling, whatever it was, parent, You was willing to do that to gratify a desire that they had, but you made a concession. Concessions cost us something. Remember that. Honorable concessions. We all make honorable concessions. Obedience to parents is an honorable concession. When you go back as far as you can in your memory and think about a time that you were obedient to your parents, I would have to say you made a concession. You stopped what you were doing because your parents said, don't do that. Or your parents said, come with me. You stopped your fishing. You stopped your playing house or whatever it was that you were doing and went and cooperated with what your parents was asking you to do. You made a concession to complete your school assignments. I remember those times that my school friends that lived across the road or down the street or something wanted me to do something with them outside. And instead of doing that, I said, no, I have homework to do. So I forfeited that. I paid for it because I wasn't able to enjoy myself with my friends so I could have my homeworks done. We make concessions for friendships. You know that you will never build a friendship without making concessions? You'll never you'll be the odd man out, so to speak. You'll be the person that other people just doesn't really know how to get to know if you're unwilling to make concessions. If you're unwilling to make yourself available for others, friendship will elude you. You make concessions for employment. Some of us feel like we are at our peak performance first thing in the morning. And others of you are real slow starters. Some of you feel like that, you know, anything before 9 a.m. is just really asking too much. And some of us, at 9 o'clock, it's like the day is well nigh spent. So you make a concession as to how you approach your employment to maintain it and to be able to perform there. You make concessions for accomplishment. These are all honorable things. You make concessions for a marriage to work. It's not your way or the highway. If it is, there's conflict. And it's not a blessed situation. You make concessions in order to make it to heaven. Right? You really do. You trade some fulfillment, personal fulfillment for heaven. We think it's much better than buying a drink at an amusement park. There's dishonorable concessions too. Did you know that the concession that's made when you disobey your parents will cost you something? The concession about never completing assignments, that's going to cost you something. You made a concession. You made a concession that you were willing to forfeit your efforts to complete your assignment. And guess what? You get to take that grade over again. I remember when I told one of my sons that he could do better at school. It wasn't because he wasn't sharp enough. And I told him, you can do better. And here is what's going to happen if you don't do better. You're going to get to take that grade over. I said, even as the school system wants to pass you on, I said, if you're not on the honor roll by the end of the year, or by next quarter, I said, you're going to take this grade over. I said, you are plenty sharp to be on the honor roll. And if you're not on, and he's told me now, it's been a long time ago since I told him that, he said, nothing scared me worse than the thought of me having to take that grade over. But see, he was making a concession. He would rather have been outside shooting his BB gun or something than applying himself. And I just told him, here's what it's going to cost you. If you're willing to make that concession, I said, all your little buddies are going to go on to the next grade and you're going to still be in this grade next year. And you know, concessions end up, if we make the wrong ones, end up in failed friendships. It ends up in unemployment. It ends up in depression. It ends up in divorce. And it ends up in hell if we make the wrong concession. If we make the concession and make the agreement, I would rather gratify my own selfish fulfillments than to be pleasing to the Lord, I'm going to pay with my relationship with God. So I'd like for us to turn this morning to Colossians, the third chapter. And you won't have to turn very many pages today. I'd just like to spend a little time here in Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to like to begin reading in verse 18. Colossians was written to a congregation that most likely were very unacquainted with the true God in their history. There were many people that had came out of paganism in this congregation. And the Apostle Paul is writing to them. We're going to read beginning in verse 18. He says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord." There's a whole lot in that verse. But as a general rule, the farther people are away from God, be it just plain old sinner that has a knowledge of God, or if it's real deep-seated pagan practices, the relationship between a husband and a wife becomes so distorted that what we anticipate the husband and wife relationship is completely foreign to them. Completely foreign. A wife was in the time of Christ being here and in that plus or minus 100 years of history or so, maybe a little more broader than that, up until Constantine converted to what he called Christianity at that time. You know, wives were just a way a man could have children. It was awful. And I don't want to go down that path. I just want you to know that there's a whole lot that could be said about this. He's writing to a congregation that's mostly pagan, and he says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit in the Lord." And in my margin here, it says home duties. In another electronic version of the scripture that I have, it says rules for Christian households. So the rest of this chapter is talking about that. So did you know that it takes concession for wives to submit themselves to their own husbands? He goes on to the next verse and he says, "Husbands, love your wives." Did you know to a pagan man, that's a new thought? Completely new. He says here, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. That's something that's very Christian. That's very much a part of who God is. Did you know you have to make some concessions to demonstrate to your wife that you love them? My margin says home duties. That other scripture that I was, the electronic scripture that I use in for myself, it's still King James Version, okay? But their margin says rules for Christian households. There's concessions that have to be made to demonstrate that you love your spouse, that you're willing to be in submission to your spouse. It's very much a Christian perspective on marriage. He says in verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Did you know there's concessions that have to be made on the point of the children? There's concessions that have to be made on the part of the parents, because he says in the next verse, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Children do things sometimes that without the grace of God, it could make the parents angry. Could make them feel very much ready to retaliate. Whether they can't believe their child did it, because it was dangerous, because it was an embarrassment to the parent, because they felt like it was not using good wisdom. There's reasons that parents without God could be angry. But there's a concession that has to be made there. There is something I'm willing to give here. I have to give. It's not just a gift. I have to do this. You want to drink at a place that don't allow you to bring your own cooler with you, and you want a sandwich at a place that don't let you bring your picnic basket, guess what? You're going to have to pay the price they ask. You want to, my wife and I went down to Carthage the other day, and they have something called Food Truck Friday. Well, not that, I don't know, some of the food was realistic, and others of it was like, that's pretty steep. You know, if you want a can of pop out of a cooler, it was probably going to cost you $2. You know, for this little 12-ounce can, it was on ice, of course, but $2. Well, that's concession prices, all right? So, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. You're going to have to give something there. Children, you're going to have to give something to be your parent. You're going to have to pay. It's going to cost you something. When you're 7 or 8, there's important stuff to do. And when your parents say you have to do something different, you're going to have to give it up. There's a concession that has to be made. He says here in verse 22, servants, obey all things, in all things, your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. You know, there are many times, or have been many times, that because my employer wanted something done a certain way, and they wouldn't listen to my reasoning, whatever good or bad it was, they didn't accept that. You have to do it this way. Did you know I had to pay? What was the alternative? It's something that we don't want. It's called unemployment. I have to pay. He goes on to say here, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. What am I really doing here? What's my real function? I'm willing to pay the price because I want the benefit. You want that cold drink. You want that morsel of something you don't get every day. You want that funnel cake that nobody at your house makes quite like that. Or maybe they don't put enough powdered sugar on it or whatever it is. So I want this and I'm willing to pay the price. But do it as unto what? As to the Lord and not unto men. Keep that perspective. Why am I living the way I'm doing? I'm doing this for the Lord. Yes, there's times that I feel like I'm paying too much. You ever felt that? We can feel like we're paying too much for that fried Oreo. We can feel like we're paying too much, giving too much of ourselves to be able to provide for our family. Maybe it's the overtime. Maybe it's the start time. Here a while back, I know Rodney had to work a few days and get up and be at work at 3 o'clock in the morning. Well, that's, you know, I don't know about you, but that's kind of expensive. To be at work at 3 o'clock in the morning, I was like, are you serious? That's right when I'm sleeping good. And he's got had to be at work for a week like that. All right? He says, knowing that the Lord, that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. What are we doing this for? Why are we willing to pay? It's because we want the reward. We're willing to give what's required. He says, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of person. There is not going to be any, they got through, you know. We didn't really intend for them to get in. It's not going to happen, folks. We're going to have to pay. We're going to have to give to be able to get the reward. So I ask us a question at this point. Are the concessions we make worth the price we pay? You think about that in your home. You think about your relationship with your spouse, whether you're the husband or you're the wife. You think about your interaction in the home with the child, with the parent. You think about your life as an employee or an employer. You think about your relationship with God. Are you getting what you really want? And is it worth the price that you're paying? Are you willing to pay what it takes to get what you want? Are you always looking for a bargain? Are you always looking for something that is just the cheapest version? Or are you willing to pay? The concessions, the agreements that you get, the privileges that you have, are you willing to put into it what it takes to get it? Every concession that we make to fulfill our own appetites is going to cost us something in our home. I want to do something that I don't want my wife to be part of. I want to do something that I really know I can't afford, but if I do it, maybe the children won't have the new pair of shoes or the food that they need. You know, if I gratify myself, it's going to cost something at home. If I don't cooperate with the desires of my husband, if I resist every turn, you know, it's going to cost something. Are you getting what you want out of life? Are you getting what you really ought to be getting out of life? If I choose to do something besides really pay the price of being faithful to my God, it's going to cost us something. We're going to come to a place when we really want the Lord to do something for us. And we're going to wonder where He's at. We're going to wonder, why is there seem to be a distance between us? So are we willing to pay? Are we willing to make the concessions? Are we willing to concede the gratifications of my own desires to be fulfilled in my relationship with God? I know I'm kind of speaking from both sides here this morning, but I'm trying for us to get the picture that if I, whatever concession that I want, concession is, I see the picture maybe of the food. I have to think of concessions as food, and sometimes they'll have the picture of the burger, and I don't think they ever come out looking just exactly like that. But it looks so luscious. And then the one you get looks so smushed kind of sometimes. But however it is, this is what you have in mind. And if I'm not willing to give what it takes to get that, are we satisfied? We don't have, maybe, to go up to the concession stand. Every smooth running home, every productive place of employment, every journey to heaven requires us to make concessions. Every one of us have to make concessions. So I'd like to back up a little bit in this chapter and begin reading at verse 10. And at verse 10, my Bible says, spiritual apparel. He says, beginning in verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is in all, is all and in all. So, did you know for Christ to be all and in all? Christ is all and in all. For that to happen, did you know we have to make some concessions? For there to neither be Jew nor Greek. You know how opposing that is? It's dramatic. Did you know how opposing the circumcision and uncircumcision is? We're talking about God-fearing and pagan here. You know how opposing barbarian and Scythian is? Bond or free? There are so many things that people that are in bondage have to accept for granted, and so many people that are free take for granted. For that to all be able to be in a state of equality, you know, it takes concessions, and it's going to take both sides. Both sides are going to have to, it's going to cost them something. It's going to cost those that feel like they were born into an aristocratic position. It's going to cost them something to be able to be on the same plane as someone that was born in bondage. It cost us something here this morning to have the level of fellowship that we do. Every one of us have to be willing to pay for fellowship. I'm willing to give of myself. I'm willing to put myself out so that we can have a level of fellowship that can be a blessing to each other and to those that come in. I've watched it happen. Somebody comes in this building, interacts with this congregation that's never been here before, and they go away with an impression, a good impression. I've spoke to them later that That's the friendliest place I've ever been. That's a report I've got. Lord, help us to be able to demonstrate. You know, it costs something to do that. It's not just like natural. Well, it's natural because we've made the concessions. It's an environment that we've created. We've been willing to make the exchange. I want that. I want that burger. I want that funnel cake. I want that experience. And I'm willing to give to make it happen. I'm willing to sacrifice to make that happen. So he says here, in verse 12, put on therefore as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Did you know that those things are going to cost you something? Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. Do you know that there are many situations in life that justifiably doesn't deserve mercy? There's a lot of people and a lot of situations that really have something coming to them. You know, if somebody leaves their window down and don't have, I'm just going to speak like somebody that's not willing to have mercy, okay? Somebody leaves their window down on their car and it comes up a rain and they're in there just totally oblivious that they left the window down. You know, they deserve to get their car wet inside. You know what happens when it gets wet? Then it starts to mildew and stink and, you know, it's just a bad situation. But, you know, they deserve that because they left the window down themselves. You know, there was a time that I went out and I was young and real young. And my task was to tie up my dog that I've been playing with. And my parents told me to go. And I went out in the backyard and my dad had this ring and buried down in the ground. And on the end of my dog's leash, I just had to hook it in that little eyelet that was down on the ground. And I went out there and it was dark enough and I was afraid of the dark. And I couldn't find it. So instead of hooking my dog up, I just jobbed the end of that chain down in the dirt. And I went in the house. And the next day, my dog was gone. I never saw Lady again. That was her name. You know, I deserve that. But it's going to cost us something to show mercy. And the scripture says we're supposed to put some stuff on. And if I'm going to put this on, it's going to cost me something. You know, every time that we show mercy to somebody that just wasn't using their head, it's going to cost us something. We can't just hold our breath. We've got to really have mercy from deep down in our hearts and show mercy to them. Every time that we show kindness and humbleness to someone that's being obnoxious and overbearing, and we really are showing kindness and humbleness from a heart, it's going to, we had to give something for that. We're not going to get that by just, you know, I heard someone tell recently that somebody challenged them to hold their breath underwater for a minute. And then they told them they could hold their breath for twice that long. And they thought they was going to die in 1 minute. And they ended up holding their breath for almost 3 minutes underwater. Well, did you know that I can tell you here that you might feel like that your life is full of people that are just obnoxious and overbearing and don't have a lot of sense. You know, they do silly stuff that just it waste my efforts and their efforts and all that, but we can have humbleness, we can have kindness, we can have mercy toward all of them if we're willing to pay for it, if we're willing to make the concessions, if we're willing to give what it takes, we can have that. But it takes a concession. I have to give up what I think everybody ought to know. Your nature and my nature, many times we'll find we come at crossroads and we have to make a concession for our fellowship to go on. He says here, not only humbleness of mind, but meekness and long-suffering. You know, long-suffering is more than you've got 2 minutes. Long-suffering usually takes longer than 2 minutes. Long-suffering is something we're willing to allow the other person to see the need. I need to be better at all of these things. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. You know that cost us something? I have to make a concession every time I think somebody, I mean, they ought to know they're as old as I am. They're older than me. They're a man just like I am, and they are whatever. They ought to know better. It's going to cost us something to forbear and to forgive one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. How did Christ forgive us? He says, I won't remember your sins anymore. I'll cast it as far as the east is from the west. There's two different references there. I won't hold that against you. Are we willing to make that concession? Well, I know that you're saved now, and I know that God forgave you, but, you know, I remember what kind of scoundrel you was before. No. Lord, help us to make that concession. Help us to get, I know you used to be pretty hard-nosed, but, and I just don't know if I can open up to you now or not. Lord, help us to make those concessions. Because what did he say earlier? That if we've been renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him, there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. It's going to take some concessions. I'm not saying making a deal with sin. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about us willing to pay, willing to give what it takes to have the grace of God working in our hearts and lives. To make the concession. And above all these things, put on charity, which is what? The bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing you one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So every time you're able to make the concession to cultivate fellowship with someone else that is sincerely endeavoring to please the Lord, you know, it will move the cause forward. Every time we make the concession to work with one another, and we think what somebody else is doing is, it violates my sense of right and wrong. And every time I make that concession, it's going to increase our level of friendship in our level of comradeship. You know, all of us deserve uncomfortable situations and things because all of us have shortcomings. And we deserve to be late sometimes because we didn't prepare far enough ahead. It's our personal responsibility to make the concession to show mercy and kindness and charity to those that's around us. I'd like to go back now to the very first verse in this chapter. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, it's a conditional statement. If you have been risen with Christ, if you've been born again and resurrected from a dead state of sin, it says, seek those things which are above, which Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. This is where we started out with home duties, and we backed up, and we talked about Christian graces and all of that. This is where we come from. Where did we come from? We were really undesirable, were we not? We came from a place of undone. We were undone, lost and undone, miserable, unrighteous, ungodly. We were damaged goods. That's where we came from. He said, mortify, put these things out of your life. None of our concessions should be to tolerate the things that separate us from God. That's not what we're talking about this morning. Our concessions is being willing to have the grace of God manifest. We're talking in our Sunday school lesson about the winds blowing, and when things start pushing around on us, I've been out there in those places that the wind blows, and whether you're driving or walking or whatever, the wind can be strong enough to kind of push you off course if you're not careful. And there's a lot of things pushing around on us, and when it pushes over us, may those that's downwind of us smell something that smells like God and not something that stinks like the old man. He says, put it away. Mortify it. That's where we come from. He said, and I have to make a concession. I have to be willing to throw that away to be able to have the other. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. All of us have been guilty of some of these things, maybe all of them, I don't know. But we've been involved in some of these things that would have separated us from God. But when we came to the realization, if I want to have fellowship with God, I have to make a concession. I have to give up that old life to be able to gain the new life. I have to give up some of my money to have that hot dog at the concession stand. I'm going to have to give up the old fleshly appetites and the hatred and the envy. I can't have the grace of God in my heart and still harbor the enmity that the devil wants me to have. He says here, for which things sank the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. For there is neither... Now we start back over. You see how this chapter starts with something that is not acceptable in God, with God. But when the change happens, we start paying the price. I've heard you testify, many of you, about paying the price and moving up in your experience with the Lord. That's a concession that you paid. That's something you did to further your relationship with the God. With God, if we want to further our relationship with one another, we're going to have to give and pay some with our own ideas, our own wishes, our own desires. The scripture says in Matthew 6 and 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Luke, the 16th chapter and the 13th verse, says exactly the same thing. It's word for word, both of them. Matthew and Luke record, in our King James version of the scripture, it's word for word. You cannot do this. You cannot serve two masters. You have to make a concession. Which one do you want? You want to keep your money in your pocket, or you want that soft drink? You want to keep your money in your pocket, or do you want the funnel cake? Do you want to keep serving the enemy, or do you want to have the peace of God in your heart? You want to have all of your... You want to have the freedom to just be you all by yourself, or do you want to have friendship with someone else? What do you want? You're going to have to make a concession if you want something that you don't have. You can't live like the sinful world and keep God in your heart. You're going to have to make the concession. Which one do you want? Do I want to have God living and ruling and reigning in my heart and in my life and in my spirit? When I'm pushed around by the events of life, do I want the odor, the sweet odor of the grace of God, humility? Maybe it's peace. Maybe it's joy. Maybe it's happiness. Is that what I want other people to smell? Or do I want people to smell the rank anger that comes when something doesn't go my way? I'm going to have to decide. I know I can't reside. God won't reside in a contaminated vessel. I'm either going to have to follow the Lord and forsake the sinful world. I can't live like the world and keep God in here. And I can't appear to be a Christian and allow Satan to rule my mind. It just don't work. I might look, there's those that have looked pretty good on the outside for a while, but I can't be a Christian and let Satan rule in my mind. You just won't be able to keep up the front. You won't be able to keep up the facade. It'll fall away someday, and it won't be very pretty. And we have to make the concession. I'm willing to give it all up. I want this other. So my challenge for us today is to think about all the facets in my life. You know, all of us have things that haven't turned out like we really wanted them to. And I'd just like for us to look back and ask ourselves, were we willing to make the concessions that we should have made? And from this day forward, I don't want us to get stuck in the past and start feeling like it's hopeless. In the future, what are we going to do? When it comes to that opportunity, I really would like to be friends with that person, but am I willing to be friendly, to have friendship? You can't have friendship without being friendly. You can't have fellowship without putting something into it. You can't be right with God and right with the world at the same time. I'm going to have to make a concession. So Lord, help me to make the right concessions. I'm not talking about giving in to sin. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. I'm not talking about us making a deal with any false doctrine that comes along. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about in our homes, in our everyday lives, in our desire to be an example of the believers? Am I willing to do what it takes to get the right fruit? Rodney mentioned to us about the different nutrients that's required to raise a crop. And you know, if we don't have the right balance, we won't be very productive. And I want to have produce. I want to have production. I desire your prayers that I'll improve and be what God would have me to be. You pray for me.